What's up, guys? Today on Sports Spectrum, a conversation with Baltimore Orioles pitcher John Means. He made his major league debut in September of 2018 at Fenway Park against the Red Sox. In 2019, he was an all-star, 12 wins, a 3.60 ERA, and made the Major League Baseball all-star team in May of 2021. He did what only a few have ever done. He pitched a complete game no-hitter against the Seattle Mariners, and that took place 9 months to the day after his father passed away of pancreatic cancer at the age of 57 in August of 2020. We talked to John Means about all of that, about this season, this past season, and coming back from Tommy John surgery and being able to contribute, although a little bit, contribute to that 2023 Baltimore Orioles success late in the year, and then his hopes for 2024 and coming back and really what he's been doing in regards to his faith and growing in his faith, especially after losing his father and the impact that that had on him, but just trusting in Jesus and relying on the Lord to guide him and his wife, Caroline, moving forward and their little boy as well. This is John Means from the Baltimore Orioles. He's coming up in just a second here on Sports Spectrum. First, want to say thank you to our friends, Compassion International. They are the most trusted child development ministry in the world. You can check them out at compassion.com/sportspectrum, compassion.com/sportspectrum. You can sponsor a child. You can see a bunch of children listed at that website waiting to be released from poverty. You can make a difference in a child's life by sponsoring them right now with Compassion. We sponsor two children with Compassion, my wife and I. We believe in this ministry so very much. I've seen it firsthand. I've went on trips with Compassion to the Dominican Republic and seen their program in action. It's amazing. You need to get on board as well if you can and consider sponsoring a child with Compassion. You're providing these kids food and education, medical care, vocational training, an opportunity to know Jesus as Lord. I mean, what more could you ask for? Being able to provide for a child in need. They're in really dire situations and dire circumstances. Go to compassion.com/sportspectrum right now and pray about sponsoring a child today.
Great to have John Means here from the Baltimore Orioles. Hi, John. Welcome to Sports Spectrum.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, we had your wife on many years ago, and I'm wondering why we haven't had you on, but it's an opportunity as we gather here in person at a conference in Florida to be able to connect and kind of tell your story a little bit. So thanks for joining us. Let's start there with Christ and your Jesus story. Why don't you share a little bit about who Christ is in your life and kind of the evolution of your faith?
Yeah, you know, it's been a pretty up and down journey throughout life, and that's honestly when you texted me to come on the show, I thought about it for a few days, and I was like, "Am I strong enough to be able to go on this show and yeah. and that sort of thing?" And you know, I think that's a lot of people's journey is that you have your times where you're struggling with it, and then your times that you're thriving. But it kind of, so I grew up in the church. My grandpa was an assistant pastor at the local church, and I, ended up, Sunday school and Awanas and, vacation Bible school, all that, did that as a kid. And I went through the motions. I wasn't really sure what it was. I know it was, my friends were there and we'd go and have fun and that sort of thing. And I really didn't get into my faith journey until probably college, and even then it was kind of like a lukewarm. I did the FCA and that sort of thing, went through the motions, went there and kind of really dived into it in the minor leagues. I wanted to know. I'm a very black and white person. I'm very like I need to feel it, smell it, taste it, kind of person. And so I wanted to, I went out searching for the answer, like what is the answer, what is the afterlife, like what is, looking up the Big Bang Theory, and honestly, all of that research and all that, diving in just brought me closer, and it brought me like, I was looking up like, Big Bang, particles colliding. What did that even like?
Yeah.
How is that crazy? How is that not as crazy as Jesus in coming? And And so I dove into that, and all that did was make it stronger. And so I'd go back into my faith and that sort of thing. And then got really into it when I met Caroline for the first time. And I knew she was came from, you know, she's a pastor's kid. And I was just so interested in it and diving deeper into it. I wasn't surrounded by people that were really into it. So I was always just a genuinely curious person about it. And we had gone, you know, Bible studies and that sort of thing. And, you know, it's kind of gone up and down and up and down, but it keeps getting stronger on those ups. And
that's good.
Once I got to the minor league or to the major leagues, you know, I had everything. I thought I had everything I wanted. You know, I thought I had, you know, my rookie season was so weird. It was just, you know, I did really, really well and really, really well. I made to the All-Star game, and I was like, nothing can stop me. And all of a sudden, my dad gets diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. So that kind of shocked my whole world. And I, you know, it was an awful thing. It was probably the lowest part of my life. But at the same time, I was never stronger in my faith. And that honestly brought me so close to God and, you know, made me so close to people that were in their faith. And, you know, chapel became so important and community came so important. And it just seemed to, you know, how awful it was. And we were so close. And, it's hard to describe. But at the same time, that was kind of where I kind of, you know, had hit the fork in the road. And I chose the right direction. And I wanted to pursue it. And kind of ups and downs. But at the same time, you know, I'm. All of it has kind of got me to the point now.
But the road keeps coming back to that, to Jesus. And that's what I love about it. It doesn't pull you away from it. It keeps coming back. And so can you just describe that? Because a lot of times when people go through tragedy, I mean, even in this room, you know, and our colleagues, Leah and John, they've all gone through loss and hardship. I've gone through loss and hardship. You've gone through loss and hardship. It feels like it's just part of life. It's not what we want to happen, but it happens. And yet we find ourselves still coming back to Christ. Can you walk us through a little bit about what that was like for you? Because a lot of people will turn away.
Yeah.
And when tragedy or hardship happens, they run far, far away from God. Can you just share a little bit more on that?
Yeah, no, and you know that after my dad passed in 2020, it was, you know, I was upset. I was angry. I was mad. I was like, why him? Why does that make any sense? He was a healthy, you know, 50-year-old, and but at the same time, I knew where he was going. I knew that there was something to pursue here. I felt the presence of it, and but it was, you know, like I said, it has its ups and downs, and honestly, so that happened, and 21 was, you know, good season, got hurt, and then in 22 I blew out opening day, had Tommy John surgery, so and that was just another like low for me. And that happened, and then kind of was home for a long time. I was you know, with Caroline and my son, who's almost 3 now, and spent a lot of time at home. And it was weird. It was like, okay, this is, we're in season right now, but I'm home and rehabbing here, and meanwhile the Orioles were doing really well, and I kept going back because chapel for the Orioles had gotten so big. That has completely changed my whole perspective and got me to as high as I've ever been, because when I was a rookie, 19, 20, 21, there was probably 2 or 3 guys to come into chapel. And, and in 22, it started where we had 10, then 12 and 15, and all of a sudden it was growing, and I felt that, and I didn't realize how much I needed that during the season. And now I was rehabbing at home and not there with the team. And so I had to go back once a week or once a month for a week, just to feel that environment. And I needed that. And that really kind of helped me with, you know, my dad and process certain things. And, you know, not even though I wasn't on the team, I just felt that presence when I was there, and that kind of brought me back there.
You never want to say that it's only because 20 guys went to chapel that your team is having a great season.
God isn't getting us wins.
Correct.
Yes,
oh,
yeah,
God's
he's not.
Wins. No, but it's still really neat. I mean, we talked to many players and coaches who are part of cultures that you could just see the Lord working inside those locker rooms, inside those clubhouses. Describe this year. You came back. You made it back from Tommy John late in the year in September to be around this Orioles team that made the postseason for the first time in a long time and won the AL East. What was it like experiencing success on the field, but it sounds like some pretty cool successes off the field with people's faith on that team?
We had great veteran leadership with, you know, Kyle Gibson, who's here, and Danny Coulomb, who, you know, just on fire for the Lord. And it really made a difference in the clubhouse, I think. And I wasn't even there for most of the year. I was there. I'd come up every once in a while. You could just feel the difference.
Yeah.
And I can't speak for the other guys, but for me, it was just like, wow, this seemed like the difference between this, you know, 2023 and 2021 when we went on a 19-game losing streak. Like, this is the guys just feel comfortable in who they are, and I think that's kind of what Jesus brings out in us. We feel comfortable in our, you know, our body and our feet and our, you know, that sort of thing. And there's no judgment. No one's judging you, but, you know, things. When you first come up as a rookie, at least when I first came up as a rookie, guys tried to like keep you in your place. Like, this is how it is. But you have to fall into this mold. You have to become this person. And that's not really from Jesus, you know. It's be who you are, and if you believe, and if you are, you know, a believer in Jesus, you're gonna act right. You're gonna you know, follow certain guidelines, and you don't need the, you know, angry veteran to tell you this is how it's supposed to be. It's you know, you just need to be in the Word and just trust that. Trust that.
Well, you're kind of one of those veterans now, too. You've been with the team for a while. But seeing these young guys, I mean, there's so many great young players in the Orioles on the major league system and the minor league system and the farm system coming up with guys like Jackson Holliday. But they're all, I don't say all, but most of them are pretty solid believers, which is really encouraging to me from the outside looking in. I have to imagine it's encouraging for you to see so many young guys who you see the platforms growing pretty quickly, and yet they still have this firm foundation in Jesus.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was the, you know, that's part of the draft process or what, but it seems like everybody who comes up, you know, is such a good person and so kind, and they just also happen to be believers, and it, you know, I think that correlates, and it is, they come up, they're comfortable who they are, they're willing to share their testimony with other guys, and I've witnessed it multiple times with guys coming up, and then, like I said, it just breeds comfort. Like, you feel comfortable in your skin, and that's so important in this game too. And it changes careers, it changes lives. I mean, and obviously our career doesn't define us, but at the same time, I mean, like I think we were talking about today, it was, you know, it helps breed success. If you're comfortable in your own skin, if you're comfortable, you know, who you are, it makes it so much easier to perform on the field. And these young guys, they're so good, and their mindset and their mentality is second to none. So yeah, it's being with the Orioles and seeing kind of where they're at now and what they're going to look like in a few years, just from the mentality side, let's not even talk about baseball side, is really cool to see.
It's exciting to watch and see what will happen in the next few years. And like you said, not even mattering, you know, if they win games. Obviously the fans might be like, well, we'd like to win 100 games again. But if you see some lives being changed, I remember I was telling another baseball player who was on this podcast, I remember someone telling me their favorite season in the big leagues was their worst season statistically, because they saw God move in the locker room. They saw people getting baptized and discipled and coming to Christ, and chapel was at an all-time high. And they said, who am I to say that because I had a bad season that God didn't do amazing things within this clubhouse? And that was my favorite season. And I thought, wow, that's playing freely.
It's a crazy concept, huh?
Right? But that makes sense, I would imagine, now as a follower of Christ yourself.
It does, and it does. And I didn't realize that when I was up there. The Orioles, we were rebuilding for so long, and it almost breeds selfishness when that label is kind of slapped on you. And then, you know, obviously – I thought it was because of the rebuild. I thought it was because of that label. But in reality, I think it was that we had one guy in chapel. We had two guys in chapel, and I wouldn't even go sometimes because, you know, no one's there, and you know, it wasn't a priority. And now it seems like we're having chapel, and we have Bible study during the week, and it's like, okay, I'm going to this. You know, we're gonna make sure guys are coming here to kind of to, you know, express themselves or talk about certain things and that are hard. And it was really cool. And like I said, I wasn't even up there for the whole year, but even I felt it. And I pitched four games, you know, and so I could only imagine those guys that were there all season. And it makes such a difference for just quality of life, because this game is so hard. There's so much failure.
Yes.
And yet, like you said, some guys' best, you know, favorite season is the worst seasons. And I think that is such a cool thing to just value, you know, quality of life over season, because you'll run yourself into the ground if you are only worried about statistics and wins. And
it's got to be so hard too, because as a pitcher, you might make the best pitch you could have ever made, and the guy hits it 450 feet, and you're like, okay, this game, it could eat you alive if this is where you put your identity in. Because I'm sure you've had that moment where you're like, dang, that was a good pitch. Like, that was this or that in that moment, and then boom, it just goes the other way. And maybe, and I want to talk about your no-hitter in a bit, but like maybe in the day of your no-hitter, you may have made some bad pitches, but got away with it, and the guy might have swung and missed, or he might have popped it up or whatever when you knew you made a mistake. But that's baseball, and that's, I don't know, I hear you talk about the highs and lows. Like, that's got to be so interesting from a professional baseball player's standpoint to know that you can only control what you can control.
Yeah, and it when, you know, you feel the difference when you're out on the field too. You know, I tell guys sometimes when I know I'm gonna, you know, I'm doing okay during the game, when I give up like a just smash double or something, and my heart rate doesn't raise, or I'm like, oh, okay, I'm good, I'm comfortable. When I'm like, when I give it up, and I'm just like, oh, that's off the wall. What am I doing? And start freaking out, and you know, the heart rate starts to rise. Like calming that heart rate is so important, and having something to value other than yourself and the game and statistics is so valuable and to performance, and also just, you know, just making sure you're doing well mentally.
Tell me about returning this past year in September. In essence, a pennant race. I mean, you guys knew you were going to be in the playoffs, but you didn't know if you would win the division or not. And we were at one of those games, my buddies and I, my pastor and my good friend Jason Jacobs, a huge Orioles fan, who got to meet you a couple years back. And he wanted to go down to a game. I think it was in September. And we went down, and they lost. But then they ended up winning the next three, and it really solidified the division for Baltimore. But that place was rocking. And I kind of imagine that's very interesting from your perspective to not have pitched at all, and suddenly you're back. You're not just back. You're thrusted into a pennant race with this team that you've been around a little bit with, but not completely. And yet you're seeing Camden Yards, you know, packed to the masses, and these fans are just rabid. It had to be such a unique experience having been away for over a year.
Yeah, no, you know, when I had pitched before, we weren't back in the place. We were struggling pretty hard.
Yeah.
Last year I pitched. And so just to see that difference and to see all those fans out, and, you know, going from like the rehab starts, and I was kind of struggling in rehab starts, and there was so much doubt going in. I'm like, what's going to happen? I wasn't sure how it was going to go. And honestly, what really changed me, and me and Tyler Wells, actually, who's also here, we're down in the minor leagues together, and we were both in AAA, and you know, we're both, it's not a great place to be, you know, mentally.
Sure.
And something we were both doing were our daily devotionals. We were doing it every day, and doing that, and working on that, and our Stoicism app, and all this mental work. And it really did help me. And that was kind of where I made that big jump of, you know what, whatever happens, happens. And I don't care about the crowd. I don't care about, you know, the results. Like, I'm just going to go out there and try to be the best version of myself. And, but it was so cool to see, you know, be at least be present in the moment, because I could have, you know, I was a little worried that I was going to be a little freaked out. And it's been a while. It's been a couple of years.
And nobody would have thought differently, John. Let's be honest here. I mean, you're pitching in the minor leagues, and, you know, maybe if you're sold out, you get 7,000 people, 5,000 people. Yeah. And then you go to Camden and you got 43,000 screaming
back
fans
in the house for a pennant race.
Exactly.
It was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. And to see that place, because it's such a great baseball town. And,
it is.
You know, we were struggling when I was up in the big leagues before. We were struggling. And so just to see it thriving and to see it, you know, the build up of, you know, what was to come and what's to come. And it was so cool to see, because, you know, that city can be so fun at Camden Yards.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite ballparks to go visit, that's for sure. I want to go back a little bit. You had such an interesting 2019, your rookie year, 12 wins, a 3.6 ERA, but an all-star berth. And that comes quickly. Like, holy cow, this, like you said, this is what it's like. Oh, I got this whole thing figured out. But it's still an all-star game appearance. Were you able to appreciate and have fun and soak in a little bit of what that was like? Or was it just kind of a whirlwind going to that all-star game?
I don't think I was very present for it, to be honest with you. Yeah. It was kind of a whirlwind. I think we just talked about before we went on was 18. I pitched the last seven games of the year in 2018. I was actually at home when I got the call. I hadn't thrown in 2 weeks and got the call up to the big leagues, up to Fenway Park. I made my debut.
It's a pretty good place to make a debut.
Yeah, in 18, they won the World Series, and I got absolutely obliterated. They gave up like a 360-foot home run to J.D. Martinez.
Yeah.
And it was just I think I gave up like seven runs in three innings. And so that was like my previous experience. And going to the offseason, make a couple changes in spring training, somehow make the team out of camp. Did not think that was going to happen. We have opening day in New York against the Yankees. And this kind of started my faith, you know, my stronger faith journey.
Yeah.
But in New York, I was in the bullpen. I was like the last guy to make the team. I was like the 25th man. I go to the bullpen and I don't pitch till the third game. I come in, our starter's kind of struggling. I come in with the bases loaded, one out. I walk a guy in, not starting off well. And then I get it out somehow. I go into the next inning and I start throwing this changeup. And it all of a sudden, I'd never had like a good changeup before in my entire career. And all of a sudden it's like swing and miss, swing and miss, swing and miss, swing and miss. And I'm like, what is going on? I have never had this before. I just keep throwing it, keep throwing it, keep throwing it. And all of a sudden I'm like three innings deep. I have like six strikeouts and I come out of the game like, what just happened? Because I've never had this pitch. I've never had a good changeup. I've always just been a fastball slider guy. And I don't, for some reason, that now that's my best pitch. And I'm not really sure why. I'm not really sure where it came from. And I was like, what's going on? And it just kind of went from there. And it was up, 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 throwing this pitch was unhittable at the time. And, you know, make an all-star team because of that pitch. And and I'm like, well, this, I got it all figured out. Like you said, like I said earlier, I got it all figured out. And then my dad gets diagnosed and in New York again, actually is when I found out.
Really?
But, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I came in, it was 2 weeks after the all-star game. I came in, to the dugout or to the clubhouse after the game and saw the text and saw Caroline. And it was a pretty tough moment, but I know God wasn't, you know, creating, you know, bad things to happen, but at the same time, it felt like the what he was providing me was, this isn't everything. Like, all I prayed about in the minor leagues was just one day in the big leagues. I just wanted to make one day.
Wow.
I was in Double A for three seasons. I was, you know, looking for jobs. I did not think I was going to make it. And I would just pray every night, just give me one day in the big leagues. That's all I asked for. I'm not asking for much. And all of a sudden he gave me all of it. Like, it, you know, I was everything and more and more and more. And I was an all-star. I'm like, this is awesome. Like, I'm going to have, you know, 10 plus year career. What's going on? Like,
yeah.
And then that happens. It's like, hey, this isn't everything. And that was the message I took from it. Obviously, you know, it was still very hard, but, it has kind of provided that mantra for me for my career. It's like, do not let this, you know, fill your head. Do not let this, you know, send you over the edge. You know, stats aren't everything. This game's not everything.
Yeah. It's such an interesting journey that you've had, John, because your dad passed in August 2020, mm-hmm. correct? So you have COVID going on, by the way, too. And that year was just a weird baseball year.
It was actually nice because during quarantine, I was home and spent all that time with him.
Oh, that's a blessing.
And so we were grilling every night, and we'd have family dinner at the table every night. And it was
That's nice. It was
a blessing, and you know, I got to be there for that. I unfortunately wasn't there when he passed. We were playing, but yeah, you know, to have that time that we weren't supposed to get in the first place. Was pretty special, and you know, I'll always have those memories.
Yeah, you wouldn't have had that if it was a regular season in many ways. So we can hate COVID all we want, but it allowed you to have some really quality time with your father.
Yeah.
What's really interesting about your story is it was 9 months to the day of your dad passing that you pitched a no-hitter in the big leagues against the Mariners, and there aren't many people that have done that. There's only a handful of guys that have ever thrown a no-hitter in this game. What was that experience like? Imagine it was... There was so many, you talk about roller coaster of emotions or roller coaster journey of faith. I have to imagine that game is a bit of a roller coaster in your mind too when you think back.
Yeah. Because 2020, you know, it was a struggle. It was a struggle for me. You know, my dad passed in August. I had like a 9 ERA going into like the last four games. I wasn't sure how much longer I was going to, it just did not feel good. And but I finished 2020 decently strong, and then 21 I was like, okay, what's gonna happen here? And started off kind of like 2019 did, and ended up throwing no hitter. It was crazy. It was absolutely insane, and I'm just so blessed to be able to say that. But it was a fun time. It was a really fun time. And I just, you know, wish he was there, but at the same time,
sure,
he was.
Was there a moment that sticks out for you in that game that you'll just never forget, whether it was the last pitch or even somewhere in the middle of the game? Was there any kind of moment that just, you know, that's what you turn to when you think about that game?
When I going out for the ninth, I remember the feeling of my legs. I kind of got the jelly legs. And I remember the exact same feeling when I made my debut in 18 at Fenway Park.
Wow.
It was that same feeling of like, oh, I'm not feeling my legs at all. Mm-hmm. Like, and that it didn't feel there and that. And then the last out was like this soft liner, and I wasn't sure if we were shifting or not. And it was to the opposite field. And I was like, oh no. And I looked, turn around, and Ramon Urias is right there and catches it, and it was so fun. And then after that, it was just a whirlwind of, you know, texts and interviews and all, you know, all that comes with it. So it was it was special, but yeah, that's probably what I remember most, was just that feeling of, you know, how my legs felt.
The Hall of Fame usually calls when there's a no-hitter thrown. I don't know if they ask for the ball or the hat, but what do you remember having to give them? But what do you remember being able to keep? Like, what do you have from that game?
I remember, so after I threw it, they come running up the stairs with the rubber of the mound, and I didn't realize that I got the rubber. I didn't realize how big it was. It's pretty big.
Yeah, it's got stakes in it and stuff, right?
Yeah, they're like, oh, hey, what are you going to do with this? I'm like, I don't know. That's awesome, though. That and the dirt was pretty cool. It was pretty, that's probably the most memorable thing.
That's
the
cool.
Rubber of it.
The rubber of all things, right? And you had to sign that rubber, I would hope.
Right? Yeah, it's actually in my office back home right now, but still haven't found a place for it. It's just sitting on the floor. I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to display in a man cave or, you know, a trophy room or something, is the rubber from a baseball game, I guess. Imagine, like, put a bunch of dirt down and put the rubber down on it and kind of, you know, create some sort
angle
of
it
science
up
experience or something.
I have no idea. Right now, it's just on the floor and just looks like it's a piece of trash, kind of.
That's cool. Yeah. As long as your son doesn't get to it, right? And stop playing with it.
Exactly.
So last year, you go through an intense rehab. You have the Tommy John surgery in 22, correct? Mm-hmm. And so you know you're going to be out for a while. What did God teach you in that year? Of being patient and just learning, okay, this is going to be a process here, and I know I'm not going to be back. And ultimately, it wasn't until September of 23, so more than a year. What did God show you in that process of trying to have to wait it out and go through what you had to go through to get back on the diamond?
Yeah, 22 was, so obviously we struggled 19, 20, and 21, and 22 we were good, and I wasn't there for it.
Yeah.
And it was a very humbling experience that, I was there for the bad, and then when I leave, it's the good. And I actually, so I haven't been on a winning team since I was 14 years old.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. My college.
Not Fort Scott Community College. Not
Fort Scott,
West Virginia.
West Virginia. Nope.
No?
Not quite. We were pretty, pretty below average at all those places, and hadn't made a playoff game in a summer league or fall or, anything since I was literally high school, nothing. And so I was really looking forward to that first winning season, and I get hurt right before they have their first winning season. And, and so it was humbling, I really struggled with it. And I really struggled with accepting that, I'm not there for it. And I think that's probably why I went back so much. And God, I felt that He was telling me to keep on the process of being in Him. And that's when I started my devotional every day. It's something I'd really struggled with and before then. And just starting your day off with the devotional changes the entire aspect of the day. And
completely, yeah.
And I felt that. I really did. And going into that 23 season, I was doing it every day. I stayed on it. It doesn't mean it was all easy, but at least I felt good to start. And I think He was just trying to teach me patience, because it's not always going to go how I want it to go. And I was rehabbing Tommy John, and then in July I was supposed to go. I think it was June. I was supposed to go up and start my rehab assignment, and I strained my teres major the very last day. I had the flight that night. I was pitching that day, and I was doing a med ball slam and strained that and put me 6 to 8 weeks behind schedule. And I remember feeling it, and it like felt like a Velcro up in my, armpit.
Mm.
And I was like, there's my season. It's over. Like, I'm never, am I going to play again? Am I going to, I haven't pitched in 2 years. Are they really going to sign me for a third? And just all these negative thoughts came in. And so that happened. I remember calling Caroline upset of, saying, look, it's going to be another 6 to 8 weeks, because we were all trying to figure out travel and everything with my son. And
yeah.
And it was, it was such a test. It was such a test, and I feel so much better because of it. And I'm so thankful for it, honestly. And, I'm stronger in my faith now. I feel like I'm a better husband, a better brother, because of what I've kind of gone through with that. And I get really carried away with in season about really focusing on, like, I'm being present in season. I kind of blow off other people and try to focus. I need to focus. This is my job, and I'm going to try to be the best I can at it. And, this kind of taught me, cherish those relationships, like, be in those relationships. Don't worry about this.
Hmm. Wow. That's a lot. Well, it's going to be interesting to watch 2024, and we're not going to try to predict anything ever, because baseball's will bite you if you try to do that. But I'm excited for you, man. I hope it's almost like a preparation stage, and talking to so many guys who've been through some highs and lows that, God prepares you so that when things do come, He's there with you, but also prepares you so that, you go through the trials so that when the good things happen, you can appreciate them even more.
Yeah. I'm hoping that, I'm going to do my best to stay on track, but at the same time, I'm just for that quality of life and community and relationship that you want to build during this season is so important. And that's what I'm going to try and focus on.
Well, it's going to be fun to watch what God does in 2024, John Means. Thanks for being here, buddy. Great talking to you, and look forward to staying in touch and hopefully having you back on again.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And many thanks to John Means from the Baltimore Orioles for joining us here today on Sports Spectrum. He's an easy guy to root for when you know that he's been through a lot with injuries and certainly the loss of his dad and coming back and wanting to do well on the baseball diamond, but also growing in his faith. And I know I'll be praying for John and for Caroline and the whole family here, the Means family, as they head into 2024 and hoping for great things. I know the Orioles want to replicate what they did last year, certainly winning 101 games. They got the young core to do it, and John Means can be a part of that pitching staff, hopefully, in 2024 and have a great season. So we'll be praying for him, and we appreciate him being here today on Sports Spectrum and our podcast. We thank you as well for tuning in. You can find us at our website, sportspectrum.com. You can always find great content on the website, updated every single day. Devotionals are there Monday through Friday. You should sign up for our devotionals, actually. If you go to sportspectrum.com, you click the devotional section, you can put your email address in, and we'll email you every single day, Monday through Friday, our new daily devotional. It's a great thing to add into your time with God each and every day, and that's at sportspectrum.com. We also have our podcast there, great stories and articles and testimonials, video content. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter. Lots of great free resources available at sportspectrum.com. We love you guys. We hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you next time right here on Sports Spectrum.